to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Still to come on the program the 10 o'clock hour. We'll have Congressman Mike Rogers and former Auburn head football coach Tommy Tuberville. The 11 o'clock hour from Alabama Today, April Marie Fogle and State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stay tuned for the rest of this program. Joining us now on the program, however, is always a pleasure to introduce this guest. State Representative Steve McMillan is on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Tip top, man. Got a spring in my step with this cool morning.
Well, that weather's cooled off after that hurricane blew through. How did you fare during Hurricane Zeta?
The Lord looked out for us. We lost one tree. No damage to any vehicles or improvements.
This sounds like that's probably the case all around your district there, though, that this was more of an event that took place to the west.
Yeah, I was really, other than a few gusty wind blown, it was really nothing. I mean, I was really surprised, expected it at least to get some wind, because I'm always concerned about the tornadoes more than I am any other aspect of these things.
Yeah, you never know what could spin off of that, but here we are. It's finally feels like autumn, and it's almost November. It took us that long, but I guess things are kind of getting back to normal as far as Hurricane Sally recovery.
I hope so. It's looking much improved. Spent a lot of money picking up debris.
That is still a lot of debris out there. I guess that was the concern with this go around. You didn't know what was going to happen, but we'll power out, the potential for power going out, and it's being out on the roads there with those debris kind of crowding the road out there really opened up the possibility or left some hazards out there, let's say.
I tell you one thing that I saw that I didn't think I would ever see, and you may have seen it. It was a road in South Mobile County that had riprap that they'd put up to eliminate erosion. And I'd say these rocks were at least 30 pounds, maybe more, and they had washed them up in the middle of the road.
Well, that's a significant weather event for sure. Speaking
of... It's unbelievable. I mean, if anybody told me I'd ever see anything like that, I would have told them they were nuts. That couldn't happen.
Speaking of roads, Representative, a local amendment too. You co-authored it, the Baldwin Beach Express Extension, or two, or whatever it's called. It's going to connect there at Bucky's at the I-10 exit all the way up to 65. Got an op-ed here you're pushing for. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it's something that is really needed. It's something we've talked about for years. We've off and on made different efforts to try to get something done with that particular stretch of road. The need is there now, and if we put it off, it'll be another 5 to 8 years, could be that long, before we could do it again. So it's kind of a one-time opportunity. There will be a toll, but it would be by choice of the vehicle drivers, because it would only be on that particular stretch of road from I-10 to I-65. Strictly in the Constitution, will be limited. We incorporated a lot of the concerns from our citizens. We have free alternative routes and lots of them. It's, as I said, limited to just this one roadway. Local control, the county governing body appoints the members of the authority, and the county governing body has to sign off on the certificate of incorporation when the authority incorporates, and they can include anything in there that's legal, including the duration of the authority. In other words, when it would fold up. Probably may never do that because of the fact that they're charged with the responsibility of construction and maintenance. To me, one of the real strong aspects of it, of the best endorsement you could get, is that many of the opponents that were concerned because of the limited access and tolls on the Bayway there was opposition to that from elected officials and from citizens. To my knowledge, almost all of the opposition from elected officials and citizens who had concerns, they are now endorsing this proposal. So I think that speaks highly of it.
Tell me this, do we have any idea of how much the toll would be, what that would look like should this be passed?
At this point, we don't, but this, the first thing we got to do is get the passage of the bill that puts it all into operation and creates the authority appointed by the county governing body, and all of those things have to take place. Then the authority then has the responsibility to go ahead with the construction of the road and maintenance long term. We've left flexibility there. We may have a sole provider that we may not be able to do business with anybody but that particular one. Another thing that I think is very realistic is, for that size project, we're talking about 24 miles, I think it is, for that size project, there may not be one particular contractor or any particular contractor who would be able to undertake that kind of a construction project. So we may have to deal it out to one or two contractors to expedite completion of it, for example. There's a lot of good reasons to retain that flexibility, and we've done that. But there are plenty of safeguards for accountability. The authority would be responsible to comply with all laws and applicable constitutional requirements. The members of the authority could be subject to impeachment by a grand jury, a district attorney of the county, or the state attorney general. Nepotism is prohibited. The power to tax is prohibited. The county governing body is charged with the responsibility of looking out for the rights and the interests of the bondholders, because they have to be protected. And then the Department of Revenue has the responsibility to administer and oversee some portions of the funds that come in. So we just feel like we've incorporated every reasonable, logical, substantive suggestion. I have not, in my conversations in the last couple of weeks, run across anybody that has anything of concern that's not addressed in one way or other in the way of accountability.
How does this, the toll, does it stay place in perpetuity? Once the road gets paid off, what does
ways,
that?
I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
There are two ways. One is, once all the debt is paid, the authority can dissolve itself, or in the resolution adopted by the county governing body to implement the process, they can put the duration of the authority in that agreement. So there's two opportunities to cease and desist.
So it leaves it open-ended, it sounds like.
The part of the problem with that is, unless we change it, and some of these things could be changed when we got into it, but I'm trying to tell you, I interrupted my train of thought, and I can't get it back. You'll have to forgive me. I had an abiding moment, I guess.
It happens to the best of us.
What I was going to say is, we could change that, but right now this authority still has the responsibility of maintenance once it's constructed. If that was, turned over to the state or turned over to the county or something like that, it could probably be done away with sooner, but somebody's going to have to get into that later on down the road.
Well, what you hear as far as concerns from people is that they will vote this toll authority could be voted in, but then there's the possibility that you could take that toll authority and apply it to another project, but that's not the case here, right?
It specifically prohibits that.
So that is just wanted to make sure that was clear. Tell me this. The toll bridge fiasco with I-10, well documented, we all know it, but that is kind of poisoned the well for you guys that are proponents of this amendment, hasn't
it? And we agonized over whether to proceed. At this time, we could have held it off without going through the legal ramifications this time, but we felt like you either have to have a special election or wait until the next general election 2 years from now. And we just didn't feel like, we felt like this was so important that we couldn't put it off again. So we felt like I am a firm believer that the citizens of Baldwin County, if they are factually informed, will make the right decision. So this, when you're right, when you mention the word toll, people just put on blinders. I've talked to a couple of people that, one guy I talked to was upset and opposed it because I couldn't guarantee him a spot on the authority. So run into a lot of things. We just have to see. I just hope the people will realize, from a standpoint of safety and economic development, one of the huge assets of this is it would come up to I-65 on the east side of the mega site, which is a huge incentive to go ahead and do this now.
Right. And the argument I hear from a lot of the proponents is that the Baldwin County sometimes doesn't get its quote unquote fair share. Well, in this case, you would have some money from the northern part of the state perhaps paying for this road instead of putting the bill on residents of Baldwin County.
Well, it could be. We have a lot of people from Texas and everywhere in between that come to Baldwin County. Access and safety and efficiency and quick arrival to the beach, we think, will be a major incentive. I won't say it's a no-brainer, because that's probably something we overlooked that might be of consequence, but if that's the case, there's nothing to prohibit making the change to adjust to that, and that's why we left the flexibility in there.
Joined by State Representative Steve McMillan here on the Jeff Poore Show. Representative, real quick, some matters of other state importance. There's talk about special session. I guess just knowing that there's been some dealings with some diagnosis with COVID-19 throughout the legislature, do you hearing any buzz? Do you see anything happening as far as getting the legislature back in session before the next year's regular session?
Well, we had a conversation with the governor yesterday on a conference call, and she didn't tell us not to say anything about it, so I'm going to tell about it and apologize if I'm should have, but I don't think it's a big secret. She said she's seriously considering it, but still some things to tie up. Will not surprise us. She'll give us plenty of advance notice before she calls it. And there are three or four things that she wants to make changes in. One of them, of course, is the liability issues involved with the virus. There's a real problem in trying to have a meeting with this virus and have access for the public and lobbyists and anybody else that has an interest in coming and seeing what's going on. They've even looked at the activity center as a possibility. And then you got the two bodies, Senate and House, that you've got to do something with as far as space. What we did close out the regular session this year worked well, but there was no access for the public and no access for lobbyists and other persons that might have an interest in it. So that's going to have to be worked out. I can tell you it was not real comfortable being up there before for a week and having to deal with social distancing and not staying out in the hallways and visiting and that sort of thing. And the The voting is another issue. The public may not be aware that voting in the House is electronic, which is not too much of a problem as far as where we are now. I don't know what kind of problem it would be to move all that technology to another location. The Senate's done with a roll call vote, so that makes it a little bit easier for them as far as having to relocate any kind of technology equipment. We just have to work it out. I know I feel very strongly, and the Speaker has told us several times that he does not want anybody there that's going to be uncomfortable or concerned about picking up the virus. We limited staff that last week of the regular session. Staff was limited to the absolute essential people. It's amazing the state agencies, when you're called up to Montgomery to try to get somebody, a lot of them are working out of their homes and rotating. They'll come work a week in the, say, in the Department of Education, and then take off a week, work from home. Those kinds of flexibility.
Right.
They're doing. But it does create logistical problems.
Representative, we got to get to break. We're up against a break here, but I want to thank you for your time, and we'll have to do it again soon.
I'd love it. Good to hear your voice. It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
It has been a while.
Newspaper to the airways.
Well, I appreciate that. State Representative Steve McMillan of Alabama's 95th House District, ladies and gentlemen. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Paul Show at FM Talk 106.5.